May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable for thy good pleasure, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In our first lesson today from the book of Jeremiah, we hear a comparison between two kinds of plants. A shrub planted naked in the desert, and a tree planted by the waters. The prophet Jeremiah was telling the people of Judah to obviously be the better tree. But he was also primarily giving warning about being the shrub. Chapter 17 of Jeremiah contains some of the most comforting and often quoted words from Scripture. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and the Lord is his trust. And he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, which sends out his roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But his leaf shall be green, and in the year of dearth he shall not be anxious, and he shall not withdraw from making fruit. But the rest of chapter 17, which we only heard the first half of, is about doom and evil and wickedness. It is a warning. Even in the comforting words, there is warning. His leaf shall be green, and in the year of dearth or drought, he shall not be anxious, and he shall not withdraw from making fruit. A good man, even in drought, tries to produce fruit. He does not withdraw from making fruit. Think about the way that is phrased. He does not withdraw from making fruit. It's not just that the tree can, but that the tree must. Otherwise, he is not a good tree, not living to his wonderful potential. But let's focus a moment on just the context that Jeremiah is speaking to. The history of the world seems to be a history of declines, with the Lord picking us back up again. First, the Garden of Eden and the fall of man, and the Lord raises up their descendants and walks with them again, raising them up, and slowly they decline. Until Noah and the great flood, where the Lord raises up Noah again, and there's a new covenant and a new promise, and then decline. And then the Lord raises up Abraham, and for a moment, for a few generations, the Lord walks with his people, and then a decline in Egypt. And then the Lord raises up Moses, and there's rise and fall with Moses, rise and fall with the judges. And then the Lord raises up a king and unites all of Israel. And within just two reigns, the kingdom is split. And slowly these kingdoms fall. First the north, and now Jeremiah predicts the south. Rise and fall, but mostly fall. A steady decline to the Lord's advent. But the Lord is always raising us up, even though we decline. You can see this in the way that the Lord prepared for his second coming. The world became more atheist and less religious. In many ways, much of what happened in the 18th century was abominable. But intellectually, many wonderful things were accomplished. And that's how the Lord works through us. Even though our will is dark and continues to be dark, the Lord works through our understanding, improving our intelligence, giving us a way out. Think about the children of Israel at this point in the story. Unlike their descendants, they had the 5 books of Moses, portions of the ancient word, the 10 commandments, the book of Judges, and the first book of Kings, sometimes called the book of Samuel. The second book of Kings, or what we call the first and second book of Kings, was still being written, but they had all that wisdom. The audience of Jeremiah knew all that wisdom. So when the Lord said to them, "Repent," he didn't have to retell them everything that they had to do. He was building a cultural wisdom, a wisdom of civilization that he continues to build, humanity's understanding. You can think of the grand man and the grand man on earth, which isn't so grand. But all of humanity, even on earth, is like a human being with a will and an understanding. And sadly, every time someone is born, the will is corrupted again. People are born inclined to evils of every kind and loving themselves. Make no mistake about it, genetically, the people born today, if born 10,000 years ago, would be into human sacrifice, cannibalism, constant states of war. It would be horrendous. There is nothing about the people born today that makes them special or good, except that they are born after the Lord's second coming. The Lord has continually progressed mankind so that today it's easy to forget the blessings of the Lord. In our 21st century lifestyle, it's hard to imagine that children are born inclined towards human sacrifice. But all throughout history, there are examples time and time again of how evil human beings can be, even within the last 100 years. But civilization has improved. Everyone in America knows that human sacrifice is horrible. It's funny to think that we're spending so much time on that specific example, but think of Abraham. When the Lord told Abraham to sacrifice his son, Abraham said, "That makes sense," because that's the kind of man Abraham was. Later, when the Lord told the children of Israel, "Do not give your sons to Molech. Do not burn your children in a bonfire to a god named Molech in the crazy belief that he will give you better crops." They needed to be told that because they were doing that. And we are the same kinds of people if it were not for the Lord's guiding hand, his providence. The Lord is saving humanity naturally through improving its civilization. But that's not his goal. It's the salvation of each individual eternally. Listen to this again from Divine Providence. Now, because the divine emanation is the Lord, and divine providence is the primary thing that emanates from it, it follows that to go against the laws of his divine providence would be to go against himself. To go against himself. The Lord so loves each of us individually that he cannot go against his rules. And his first rule is that we must be free. Because without being free, we cannot choose to repent. We cannot choose to have reason and to listen reasonably to the word. We cannot choose between being a naked shrub and a good tree planted by the waters. That good tree planted by the waters is sending out its roots to the Word, so that when bad comes, not just in the form of natural bad, but spiritual evil, when that drought comes because we are not good, the Lord can rescue us. But only if we recognize that without Him we are a naked shrub withering in the desert. It is a tough lesson from Jeremiah. Judah will fall. We will fall without the Lord. But that's the blessing. That's why in all of this doom, Jeremiah reminds us, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and the Lord is his trust. That word there, trust, means faith and confidence and to confide. That Hebrew word means to confide. So when you think of the Lord as the person that you can trust, think of turning to the Lord and confiding in Him. Going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need your help. That's what it means to trust in the Lord, to confide in Him, to be willing to admit that we need His help, because without Him, we are just like every other naked shrub. So blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and the Lord is his trust. Amen. And now to the one God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.